Sue O'Neill is a founding member of the Brimbank Multicultural Community Choir. Since joining the choir, Sue has not only sung at the Commonwealth Games Cultural Festival, but also moved to live independently in the former Commonwealth Games village in Parkville, Melbourne. And the choir continues to be an important part of her life. Sue told her story to 3CR.
Got it? One. So if I say one, two, that's the speed. Yes? 1, 2, 3, and.
Bring me little water, Sylvie. Bring me little water now. Bring me little water, Sylvie. Every little once in a while.
There was, I think there was an ad in the paper, I'm just doing this from memory, about people who were either migrants or who came from a migrant background who wanted to be in a show that was called Belonging. People brought their stories about how they came to Australia, what countries they came from, how they felt about being here and all of that sort of thing, the changes in their lives. And that was all woven into a story in this project called Belonging. There was a choir in that as well. And some people did the acting and the singing, but I was just in the choir. We did 3 shows at the Victoria University in St Albans, and then that was it for a while. But then we were told that the council had some funding to start up the choir if that was what we wanted to do, because the choir members were very keen to do that. And Veronica Gauci, who's now our choir leader, and myself were the original members of that choir. I really jumped at it really because of my love of singing. I sing everywhere, whether it's in the shower or in my house or in the taxis or whatever. You know, I sing pretty much everywhere, and I love it. As the name suggests, we sing mostly multicultural stuff. We do festivals and nursing homes and things like that. We've sung in at least, I would say, probably 10 or more different languages. We've done Maltese. We still do Maltese. Dinka, which is a South African language, we've done that. Italian. We've done Greek, although we don't do as much of that anymore. Spanish, Arabic. Oh, we do a couple of songs in Hebrew. My mum's Maltese, and my dad had an Irish father and a Maltese mother. With the original Belonging Project, because I came from a migrant background, there were all those things tied in together that made me think, no, look, I'm going to do this. And I really wanted to meet people in the community as well, because I'd only just, you know, sort of moved a couple of years previously, so I jumped at the chance. I've formed some really close friendships, and we see each other outside of the choir. Sometimes someone might say, oh look, I've got a party or whatever, or you know, we might go out to dinner or something like that. So you know, we're a good support to each other too in other areas, you know, like in our personal lives and stuff like that. So it's been really, really great. As part of the cultural festival for the Commonwealth Games, we did a show called Sing for Water. We were part of a massed choir of about 600 people. It was to raise money for people in East Timor to have clean water and sanitisation. And so each of the 600 choir members were given a form to have people sponsor them, and we raised quite a bit of money through that. Earlier this year we did Last Night of the Proms, which is quite big in England, and we've done the St Kilda Festival a couple of times, but it's basically things in the western suburbs, whether it's shopping centres or retirement villages or something like that. And we also do a couple of Christmas carol events in the western suburbs. As much as Night of the Proms was fantastic, I think probably the proudest thing that I was involved with for me was Sing for Water, because it was actually raising money for people who are less fortunate. I just got such a huge buzz out of that, and you know, being in the Alexandra Gardens, it was quite big too. So yeah, that was really great. But I think it was more that we were raising money, you know, for people who had no clean water, and how basic is that need. We practice weekly at the Hunt Club in Ballarat Road in Deer Park. So, and I come from Park. I travel there from Parkville now. I used to live in Braybrook, which is in the western suburbs, which was only about 5 minutes away from the Hunt Club, so that was quite easy. Well, I lived at my mum's for about mum and dad's at the time for 38 years, and then I actually started thinking about getting into more independent housing when my father was sick. He died in 1999. Obviously, you know, your parents aren't going to be around forever. So I started to sort of plan for doing that then, and I moved into a CRU in Braybrook in 2000, and I lived there till 2007, probably thinking about moving out of the CRU about 3 years before I'd actually done it, because I was starting to get a little bit frustrated with staff being there most of the time, because I know that the other people needed staff there, but because I was a bit more independent, it was starting to get quite frustrating for me to be in the place where people were there all the time, and I sort of found it as being claustrophobic because, you know, people were, you know, staff were around when the other guys needed to be around, and I kind of needed my space. So that was when I started to think about moving out, and I approached DHS about it. The person that I was working through with DHS at the time for housing, we organised a plan to show my family that we'd talked about it and that it wasn't something that I just dreamed out of, you know, the top of my head. We'd written down everything I'd do in a day, what supports I'd need for that, and then we just worked through that, showed the plan to my family, and then they felt a little bit easier about it. And then, you know, we had a couple of family meetings after that, you know, while the planning process was going through. And it was, I think it was a lot better doing it that way, because then my family felt a lot easier, because I didn't want to go against them as such, but at the same time, I knew what I wanted. I knew that I wanted to be in independent accommodation. But if you'd asked me about 5 or 6 years beforehand if I was going to do that, I would have thought you were crazy, because I just wouldn't have thought of living by myself. But then I just got the confidence to be able to do it, and I thought, no, I can do this, because I don't like to think that things will get in my way. There's an answer for everything, for every issue that comes up. Actually, when I was going to move to Parkville, I was a bit concerned about, you know, not being able to do it for monetary reasons, because I travel in taxis. So I was actually talking about that with the person who was doing my planning for moving out of home from DHS, and she ended up being able to have some ongoing funding for me for the taxis. I just would have been devastated if I had to leave that choir. My apartment is fantastic. I've got a ground floor apartment, and it's got an open plan living room, dining room area, and big bedroom, because it's obviously a person with a wheelchair would need to have access to it. And the bathroom area is a bathroom laundry too, so it's completely accessible except for the sink. But I have carers that I have for 10 hours a week to help me with different things, and, you know, with showering, cooking, things like that. So, you know, the days that I don't have carers, I just put things in the microwave. My microwave's my best friend, and get around things that way. So I have my ways of doing things. I'm loving my life at the moment with work and with the choir and my apartment. Everything's working really well. And I also do a lot of things socially. I'm an Essendon Football Club member, so I'm involved in the social club and the women's network, which is a women's group who has social activities and stuff. I do a lot of things. With a lot of things, I think people with disabilities kind of have to fight for what they need to do. I mean, this has got nothing to do with the choir as such, but I mean, places like Centrelink, you constantly have to prove that you've got the issues that you've got. So, yeah, you do have to fight the battles, and sometimes I get really tired of that, but other times I think, no, you know, let's go for it, you know, because, you know, you've really got to show people that you're determined to do things. So, you know, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I just say really, really go and do it. You know, just follow whatever it is you want to do.
It was sounding better and better the more times you said it.
Yeah.
That's right. But on the day, we don't have time to do that. That's the problem.
Yeah, we'll sing on the way up.
So you've got to be Oh, yeah. Maybe, now practice your part.
Maybe you should tell him that by the end of it, we'll have to go. That is for 2 weeks.
Thanks to Sue O'Neill and Veronica Gauci for inviting 3CR to listen to the Brimbank Multicultural Community Choir. The songs you heard parts of were Sylvie, an American gospel, Ma Come Bali Bella Bimba, an Italian traditional song, and Andacht's Jodler, a traditional Austrian devotional yodel. The choir practices at the Hunt Club in Deer Park each Monday night from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. For more information, call the Hunt Club Community Arts Centre on 9631 6600.
In 2009, in one of the most enlightened and wealthiest nations in the world, it is possible for persons with disability to die of starvation in specialist disability services, to be raped or assaulted without any reasonable prospect of these crimes being detected, investigated, or prosecuted by the legal system, and to have their children removed by child protection authorities on the prejudiced assumption that disability simply equates with incompetent parenting.
We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.